Today's Bible lesson on the pastor study is the contrast between God and man. The contrast between God and man. Now, our lesson comes from the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. So, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. I'm going to give a bit of an introduction here on the contrast between God and man. So, when Paul came to Corinth, to the Corinthians, to declare the testimony of God, amen, he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Amen. So we also see when he came to the Corinthians to declare the testimony of God, we told here in our passage that he simply preached Jesus Christ and him crucified in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "For I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ in him crucified." And another thing about Paul, he didn't try to impress them with his wisdom. No, rather he tried to establish them in the words of God and the power of the Spirit of God. In verses 4 and 5 of our passage, we read this: "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So he came to them in weakness. He came to them in weakness. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." Amen. We also read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5, we read, "Of such a one will I glory, yet not of myself, but I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 10, we read this: "And he said unto them, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And then Paul said further in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, "To the weak became as I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." So we see that he came to them in weakness and in fear and much trembling as a servant of Christ. Amen. Now, evidently, the Corinthians had been approached by others who came to them after Paul left. And they were following these men because they appeared to be wiser and more impressive than Paul. Amen. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verses 18 to 23. Paul writes to them and he tells them, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain, worthless, in other words. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come are all yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. Amen. So, as a result, in this chapter, Paul contrasts the things of God with the things of men to show that the things of God that he preached are much more powerful and beneficial than the things of men that had so impressed them. Amen? Because all through the letter, he talks about it, about those that came after him. Amen? He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, he says this, "And these things, brethren, have I in figure transferred to myself unto Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Don't put men above the word of God. Amen. Don't think of men. The wisdom of men is above the word of God, because it's the opposite. And then there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 19 to 20, he says, "I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Yeah, there were some there that were puffed up because of the worldly wisdom. And those that came after Paul were puffed up because of their worldly wisdom. And Paul tells them, there's no power in that. There's only power in God, the kingdom of God. Amen. And then he goes on and he says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 8 to 12, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for destruction, I should not be ashamed." So Paul is saying he should boast. He's not boasting, but he should boast that God has given him authority. Amen. The reason for that authority is given for edification, to build up the saints, and not for destruction. He goes on in verse 9, "that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." So the words of Paul were powerful, but his body was weak. He was weak physically, but spiritually he was a giant. He was strong. Then he says in verse 11, "Let such as one to think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present." He says, what we're writing, amen, to you is how we're going to be when we see you face to face. Amen. Even though my body is weak, amen, what I'm saying to you is powerful. And I'm going to come at you the same way as I'm coming at you in my letters to you. Verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." He's saying that those that came after us, after I left, are commending themselves. They're comparing themselves with themselves. Amen. But they're not wise. They may have a lot of worldly wisdom, but in God's eyes, they're not wise at all. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 4 to 6, "For he that cometh For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with us. For I suppose I was not wit behind the very chiefest of apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Amen. He's warning them about these so-called preachers that are coming and preaching something else other than what he preached. Amen. We have a lot of them of today.
Amen.
Same thing's happening today. We have people that are measuring themselves against themselves. Oh, I got all this Bible knowledge. Amen. Yes, but you have no wisdom because you don't know how to apply that knowledge wisely with God's wisdom. Amen. So we see that as a result in this chapter, Paul contrasts the things of God with the things of men to show that the things of God that he preached are much more powerful and beneficial than the things of men that have so impressed them. Now, first, Paul contrasts the words of men and the words of God. Interesting. Amen. So we see there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he tells them, when men want to impress you, what do? They use excellency of speech. Amen. Excellency of speech. They're great orators. They have a vast command of the language. What else do? They speak with enticing words. Why? To get you to follow them. Do you ever listen to some of these preachers on the radio or the television, the so-called Christian networks? They're great orators. They speak with enticing words to grab you. But when they speak with good words and fair speeches, amen, what are we to do as Christians? You need to mock them and avoid them if their words cause division in the body of Christ. And that's a command as given in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. But Paul referred to these speeches as the word which man's wisdom teaches. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. See, which things also we speak not in the words which are man's a wisdom teacheth. No. They sound scholarly and knowledgeable. Amen. Do they not? You know, the so-called Bible scholars. You've heard them preach, well, in the Greek it says this, and in the Hebrews it says that. We have them here today with us. Amen. And so they sound scholarly and knowledgeable, but their words are worth little. Why? Because they are taught by man's wisdom. Amen. The word of God, on the other hand, are the words which the Holy Ghost teaches. Amen. And Paul says in the second part of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, by which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen. And Jesus even said in John 14, verse 26, he told the disciples and he tells us, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And then in John 16, verse 13, Jesus further says, howbeit when he, he's referring to the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, he will show you things to come. What's interesting, we have some groups today that put a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit and shine the light of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is shining the light, he said, on God, Jesus Christ. He's not going to speak of himself. He's not going to elevate himself. Amen. So the words he gives, Paul gives, are profitable and beneficial. Are profitable and beneficial. The Word of God reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, you want something that's going to be profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that you may be perfect and thoroughly furnished in all good works. It's the Word of God. It's that inspired words of Almighty God found in this King James Bible. Amen. In fact, Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 63, his words give life. Jesus said, John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. That the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Now, when the Holy Spirit teaches, what does he do? A verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us, he compares spiritual things with spiritual. That is, he teaches primarily by cross-referencing Scripture with Scripture. As one preacher has said, the Bible is the best teacher of itself. Amen? Now, we see, so Paul contrasts the words of men and the words of God, and then he contrasts the words of men, the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. It's not that men don't have wisdom, amen. It's just that men's wisdom is the wisdom of this world. And who's the god of this world? Satan, amen. So it's limited. It's limited to the things of this world. And we know the world will pass away. How do we know that? Because the Word of God tells us. For example, in Matthew 24, verse 35, we're told, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now the princes of this world who speak with man's wisdom come to naught. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. So the wisdom of man is contrasted to the power of God. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. So what the implication is that the wisdom of men is weak by comparison to the wisdom of God. Amen. Now, the wisdom of God is a mystery to men. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Amen. Unto our glory. You only know as much of the wisdom of God as God is willing to reveal to you. The words of God remind us in Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belongeth unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Amen. To those who love his wisdom, amen. To those who love his wisdom, Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. To those who love his wisdom, pray for his wisdom. James 1:5, the words of God tell us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Amen. To those who love his wisdom, pray for wisdom, and diligently seek and apply to their heart to his wisdom, he gives them his wisdom. Now, the princes of this world didn't know his wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Princes of this world did not know his wisdom because they only had the wisdom of this world and rejected God's wisdom when Jesus preached it to them. Amen? That's right. We see over and over again that Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. Good example is found in Mark chapter 7, verses 5 to 13. Mark 7, 5 to 13. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders? Key word is tradition. Tradition. Not watch. But eat bread with unwashing hands. So according to the tradition of the elders, the traditions of men, the religious leaders, you couldn't eat bread with unwashing hands. He answered and said unto them, well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people are honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The religious crowd gives God lip service. They're hypocrites. They pretend to be something that they're not. And then he goes on, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Not the commandments of God, but the commandments of men. That's why he said, in vain do they worship me. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men. What are they doing? They're putting they're laying aside the commandment of God, the wisdom of God, and they're putting above it the wisdom of men, the tradition of men. For example, he says, is washing pots, is the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said, and he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God that you keep your own tradition. So when they keep the traditions, he says, you're rejecting the commandment of God. You're rejecting the wisdom of God. Amen. And you're going with the wisdom of man. And he says in verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, amen, what happens? Let him die the death. But you say, that's, he gives God's commandment. That's what we just read. And now he's giving the tradition of men. What does the tradition of men say? But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect. How? Through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such like things to ye. So the commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoever cursed their father or mother under the law was to be put to death. But the tradition of men said, amen, it is Corban. If they gave a gift, say they gave a gift to the church or the temple, what happened? Then they were alleviated from that commandment to honor their father or mother and take them free, to take care of them. Amen. And by doing that, they made the word of God of none effect by their traditions. They made them taking the wisdom of man, the commandments of men, and placing them over the word of God. That's the problem with traditions. If you take traditions, and every religious denomination has them, and you place them over the word of God, you're in trouble. Amen. You're looking for ruin. You're going the wrong way. You've taken man's wisdom over God's wisdom. Amen. Paul is clearly saying that here. And then he warns even the, as he writes a letter to the Colossians, in Colossians 2:8, he tells them, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See? He's warning them here in this letter to the Colossians, beware of man's wisdom. Beware of taking God's wisdom over the wisdom of God. Amen. Those that are not preaching the wisdom of God, not after Christ, not the words of Christ, not the words of the word of God. See? The wisdom of God is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. So, what do we see here? Amen. What do we see here? What is the Word of God telling us? Apart from the revealed truth of God, you know nothing about what God has prepared for you. Amen. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't conjure it up in your heart. If a scientist, philosopher, or priest, therefore, does not believe the word of God, he is totally lost when he tries to explain where he came from or where he's going. Amen? His eyes, ears, and thoughts just can't come up with it. Well, we're just about run out of time here on the pastor study. Next time, we'll continue our study between the contrast of God in men. Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the pastor study. May God richly bless each and every one of you, is my prayer, and good day.